Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Okay. Hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I'm going to need you to match my intensity. Yeah.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Hypecast.
Hypecast.
The show where we get hyped about stuff and or things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I am your other co-host, David Bell. That's me. Who are you?
I'm Adam Todd Brown.
Hi, Adam.
You are.
How are you? From the internet.
How you doing?
I'm doing so good.
You good?
You have no idea. I'm doing so great.
Okay.
I'm glad to hear. I really don't have any idea. As you guys can tell, I'm remote today. So Adam could be lying. He could be just visibly distraught. Mm. I wouldn't know.
Dave is pointing a gun at me right now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's just how we do things.
That's just how we get guests.
Welcome to Guncast. That should be a podcast.
Where I was
like, yeah. Kidnap cast would be good. Where you just kidnap someone and then they have to be on the podcast.
Yeah. Hostage cast.
Hostage cast. Get a couple of episodes out of it until, like, you know, the man shuts you down.
With your hostage.
Nice. God, these are great ideas.
Yeah.
We're full of great ideas. So everybody's doing good?
Listen, we'll be adding all these shows to our Patreon tiers, so mm-hmm. be on the lookout for that.
Oh, Tom, it's funny you should mention Patreon tier, because we have a Patreon tier where you can become a producer of Hypecast.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know. It's total surprise.
Anarchy.
Yeah. So part of that is we have now shout-outs to producers of this show. Very, very nice people who have decided to, you know, help make this show happen. We got two new ones this week.
Glorious heroes.
Yep. We have two new ones this week. First one, shout out to Ozzy, AUZZY.
Mm.
Ozzy, who may or may not be from Australia.
I suspect it's Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Or Yahoo Sirius.
Oh,
I'm leaning
sure.
towards Hugh, just because, you know.
I bet it's a guy from Midnight Oil.
Yeah. These are all good possibilities. Or it's not. They might not be even from Australia. They could be from, like, Austria.
Mm.
In that case, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Or Hitler.
Definitely Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hitler, yes. Thank you, Ozzy. Thank you for your support. We have another new producer. Tom, quote, quasi-dangerous levels of hype, unquote, letter K.
Ooh.
He took your name.
Let's see if we can take... He took my name. Let's see if we can take his quasi-dangerous levels of hype into explicitly dangerous levels
of
hype.
That's Guncast or Hostagecast or whatever.
Hostagecast.
That's... We could really hype it up. Yeah,
All of the above. Yeah. We're doing all of them.
Let's cause a real problem with our hypeness for Tom K here.
That's going to be our TGIF lineup this year.
Yeah. Other producers.
Nuts, great nuts, yeah. Football.
Oh, why did you have to bring that up? Because that's going to be in my head for another week.
Yeah.
Oh, that fucking song. Other producers we got to shout out is Bart Fartigan. Great fucking name. Yeah. Thank you, Bart. Bart Fart. AJ. Thank you, Mr. President Jackson. Is Andrew Jackson president?
Yeah, Andrew Jackson was president.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. He wasn't one of those fake one of those ones where it's just like they were just a stupid founding father and it didn't matter. Yeah.
Like Hamilton.
Yeah, it's not this. Yeah. Or Franklin. He's no Ben Franklin.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, AJ. Thank you for everything. This one, he messaged me and said, can I change my shout out name? Which I said yes, but I'm going to go ahead and say no more of that. I can't keep up, you guys. Thanks to Tip, quote, let's golf before movies, guys, Drizzle. Don't know what that means.
Oh, I know who that is.
I know who Tip Drizzle is.
Yeah, and let's golf before movies is let's play golf.
Golf with friends. Yep. We watch movies every Friday, and sometimes we play golf with your friends before.
We do, because Friday night is a great night for football.
All right. Thank you, Tip. Frankly Amish. Thank you very much, Frankly.
Yeah.
Miss Voidus. So just
Miss Voidus.
Mrs. Is MRS Mrs.?
Yes.
Mrs. Voidus. Yes. Sorry.
Mrs. Voidus.
Thank you. Thank you so much. The ghost of Dave Thomas, which is pretty self-explanatory.
He's one of mine.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Oh, a little crossover.
He just mailed
me
something.
Uh-oh.
What was it? It was very nice.
Thank you, ghost of Dave Thomas.
Damn it.
Yeah, we're both being supported by the immortal soul of Dave Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aaron Burser. Classic Aaron Burser. Making it all happen.
Yeah, man.
Producer of several of our podcasts.
Briscoe cast, yeah.
Yeah, fucking hero.
Highlander cast.
Yep. David Knife Boot Henson, which...
Knife Boot! Yeah,
we got a Roadhouse shout out there.
Available at Farm and Fleet.
Yeah. He also stole my name, which is, I don't know, should be illegal for both of these, the Tom and the, I don't know, we'll figure it out. Christopher Robert Sparts Esquire.
Yeah, Topher Bobby.
Yeah.
Keeping us out of jail.
Keeping us out of jail. Thank you so much. Mackenzie, Righteous Hand of the Lizard People Chill, which is, it's a handful, or it's a mouthful, I mean. But
it's a handful of lizards. Yeah.
It's a handful of lizards. Oh, is it Righteous Hands of the Lizard, comma people? Like
maybe
just addressing us? That could be it. Funky J. Thank you, Jesus Christ.
Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Funky J.
And Pie Guy.
Oh, Pie Guy.
Yeah. Darren Aronofsky.
Pie Guy. Darren Aronofsky. Yeah, for right. sure. It's yeah. definitely him.
Thank you guys so much. You mean a lot. You mean a lot to us. And you know, I'll be thinking about you way too much.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Like it's gonna be it's fucked up how much I'm thinking about you.
It's erotic.
Yeah. I told them.
Yeah, that goes without saying.
We're gonna do some
that movie Color of Night.
What?
Have you seen that movie Color of Night?
I have not.
Like my thoughts are gonna be a lot like the Bruce Willis sex scenes in Color of
Night. Oh, nice. All right. Just I haven't seen Color of Night, but Bruce Willis sex scenes, I already know what I'm in for, sort of.
Seagram's wine coolers.
Yeah.
White boy blues.
Yeah. Something I will not want to see.
Yep.
Yeah. His climax shout sounds like a cut from his blues album.
Mm.
It's like, yeah!
Oh my God. I'm going to have to watch that fucking movie now. Yeah. It sounds like a beautiful disaster.
That fucking movie is right.
Yeah. You guys ready to talk about some trailers?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yes. I had one yeah and one. Okay. Two yes.
Yes.
The first one is the teaser trailer. The regular trailer is going to be up Friday, which is when this comes out. So
yeah,
this is probably going to be already old news, but fucking let's talk about the Fast and Furious 9 trailer.
Get to your local trailer stores today, people.
Yeah. Vin Diesel's got a kid. I don't believe that he can have kids.
Right. That's like, part of the bargain he made.
Yeah. I just like
to be Vin Diesel
seeing, or it's more like the kid doesn't like if Vin Diesel had a kid, I'd imagine it being a small, bald, muscular kid. And not like a normal, regular kid.
Yeah, right, like
it'd just be like a little bicep with hair.
Yeah.
Like that kid you see on the internet all the time that's all super jacked.
Right. I don't buy it. Vin Diesel as a father, He might already be a father, and if he is, I'm sure he's great, but I just don't, I can't.
He's a weirdo, man.
Yeah, he's like a cool weirdo.
Yeah.
But
is he still huge on Facebook?
I don't know. Is anybody still huge on Facebook?
He used to have a gigantic and very engaged Facebook following.
Weird.
The stuff of legends. Yeah. That's where he lip-synced the song Drunk in Love by Beyonce while wearing
cargo shorts.
This is going to be this is the first Fast and Furious without Paul Walker, right?
No, second.
Second.
They've made another one?
Yeah.
Fate of the Furious, where he turns against the family for Charlize Theron.
I'm too behind? Fuck! Is that the one with the submarine? I didn't see that one.
Yes.
Oh, man, I'm too behind. That makes... I mean, I have a whole Fast and Furious to watch. That really makes me happy.
Yeah, I've tried...
It's great news.
I've tried at various points to get into the Fast and Furious, and it's really a hit or miss franchise for me.
Yeah. It has a little bit of the Sharknado quality where it knows it's over the top, and therefore it takes something away when they're like, see what we're doing? Look how crazy we are.
Yeah.
And there's trouble with that, but there's also like a mixture of a lack of self-awareness. I think
there's also there's some genuine earnestness there. Like Vin Diesel, I think it does everything in earnest.
Yes, and that's what makes him so good for these. Like the XXX movies are the same, where it's like you can have a lot of fun watching those because you know he's taking it seriously. Hobbs and Shaw, less so, I guess. What I appreciate about the Fast and the Furious movies is that I think they've realized that like they're a really good way of streamlining and subverting tropes, of identifying what tropes, like in Hobbs and Shaw, they have the scene where someone has to give them exposition of like who's the bad guy and all that. So they just make it Ryan Reynolds and they just make it a big joke. And because they realize like, look, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares what the weapon is and what the villain's up to and what's going. It's just like, let's just get this information out because we have to. Might as well make it fun. And I appreciate that. I appreciate them knowing,
yeah,
like,
I stand by that.
Yeah, where they're like, look, you didn't come here for the plot, so let's do as little as possible work, and that's fine. And
watching Hobbs and Shaw.
This teaser doesn't give us much to work off.
Yeah,
watching Hobbs and Shaw was a lot of work for me.
Yeah,
there was a point where I thought the movie was over.
It didn't.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a lot of movie. It's too long.
And it definitely was not.
I don't know. I enjoyed every second of that film.
Mm. Oh, no, so, I enjoyed the shit out of it, but...
I'll probably watch this one and kick my little feet with glee.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, definitely. You know, fucking...
John Cena's in it.
Yes, that's a good addition. I don't know. Here's the thing. We live in an unjust world where there's 9 Fast and Furiouses. There's, I don't know how many James Bonds. There's like 6 Terminators. Only 2 of them are like very good. And there's only fucking 3 XXX films. Like, we're not going to make all of the XXX films.
Only one last Witch Hunter, man.
Yeah, there's only one last Witch Hunter. Like, if you're going to make fucking Vin Diesel's franchises, like, you know, spread it around a little bit. Let's get a couple more triple X's first. I don't know.
Maybe he doesn't want
get another Riddick in there, man.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are all good ideas.
Yeah, I would fuck with another Riddick movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Put Riddick in Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
And just, right? Like, don't act like it's weird. Don't even address that it's weird. Just have Riddick show up.
Vin Diesel's good at having the... And I... Maybe and now I'm trying to. I was going to say this. I'm not sure if I'm right about it. He seems like the only actor who remembers how to do like 80s and 90s action, which is to remember when like you'd get Schwarzenegger and he'd be like, you know, I'm gonna be a robot in this one, or I'm just gonna be like a guy out for revenge or like a secret agent. But also I'm gonna be like in a dystopian future where I'm fighting for survival, where they like go real crazy about where they are the same person, where it's like or Stallone with Demolition Man, like Vin Diesel seems to have that, where he's like, fuck it, I'll be in space for this one, or I'm gonna be a
that movie Bloodshot coming out looks crazy.
Yeah.
Where he has the nanobots in his blood and he's gonna have to fight Guy Pearce.
Yeah. Yes. He's having a lot of fun.
Take Fast and Furious to space.
Yes.
It's the obvious next move.
That or time travel.
Yes! Time travel.
it writes itself. They get too fast and they get too furious and it sends them back in time.
Oh shit.
It's like that time when Superman got too fast and too furious when Lois Lane died and he spun the world backwards.
Exactly. Exactly.
Dom Toretto fight the Pharaohs.
Yes. There could be a scene where someone's explaining it and they're
driving so fast around the world.
Yeah. They explain, they're like, here's your fast amount, here's your furious amount, and see, they crossed over too far. Fast plus furious equals time travel. Everybody knows this.
Let's hope so.
That's what was in the time machine in Back to the Future. It was just like really, that's why it's fire coming out. That's the fury. And
that's what
fast.
I want them to go back to right around 1985 also.
Yeah, fuck it.
That's, set the next Fast and the Furious movie in the 80s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Vin Diesel is still modern day Vin Diesel.
Or do like it's his ancestors and it's just him with a mustache.
Yes.
And he's like the great great grandfather.
Put him in a pastel suit like Miami Vice and give him a mustache. Oh my god.
He got a movie.
He would look like the Iron Sheik.
he really would.
Oh,
more fucking. I mean, just I'll accept a mustache on Vin Diesel.
Kind of like a pizza chef.
Yeah. we're so good at this. We should write these.
We really should write these.
Or just write them down.
Yeah.
What's the next trailer?
It is
probably move on.
The Jesus Rolls. This is also a teaser. I think the full trailer is probably coming out soon. This is a curious film. This is a spinoff of The Big Lebowski.
Just in time.
Yep. With Jesus.
22 years later.
Yep. This is embarrassing. What's his fucking name?
John Turturro.
John Turturro.
Yep.
Thank you. It's written and directed by John Turturro, which is kind of the only way this can exist, right? I'm sure he went to the Coen brothers and was like, can I do this? And they were like, I guess so. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you would think.
If you want to make a movie about the character whose defining characteristic was the fact that he was a pederast.
Yeah. I assume they'll dig into that. I assume what's going to happen is we're going to learn that that isn't true, or like he was framed or something.
Or it was something dumb like urinating in public.
Right, yeah.
You have to register with it. They can hit you with a sex offender registry for urinating in public.
Yes, right.
Yeah, I could see that. I didn't like The Big Lebowski that much.
Okay. That's fair. I enjoy it. I really like The Big Lebowski.
I like that it's a noir detective film in which nothing happens and nothing gets solved. It's kind of funny to me.
Yeah, I really...
But I watched it recently with Marina, and she did not enjoy it. It just John Goodman just stressed her the fuck out.
Oh, I love him in
that movie.
It's such a good performance.
Have I ever told you about the time I saw the guy that the dude is based on in that movie?
Oh no,
I think so. Yeah, he's like a professor or something.
No, he was doing stand up.
Oh no,
and it was at a backyard show, and he demanded that the sound guy play Born to Run in the background during his set. But he did like 15 minutes. So like every 4 minutes he would stop and be like, you're going to start Born to Run again?
That's amazing.
And it turned into a real confrontation by the end of his set. Because he wasn't being funny.
Right.
And he thought he was being cool by playing Born to Run while he told stories about like smoking weed on the beach. People were like, get the fuck out of here.
I can see this being a problem, is being the guy that The Big Lebowski is based off of makes you inherently uninteresting, because that's the kind of the point of the character, is he doesn't have crazy story. It's a guy getting thrown into anything. A crazy adventure who doesn't normally. So, like, yeah, I'm the real Big Lebowski. It's like, oh, well, all right, you're just like a really high guy,
just a guy.
Who's not Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, it was a bummer, man.
Yeah.
I did not abide.
I think I do remember you telling me that story. That's fucking wild.
I love a good... Because stand-up especially, my friend told me a story of, like, he saw, like, a shock comic at, like, an open mic that was doing, like, really bad, like, jokes about the N-word and got booed off. But he, like, he came on stage, like, flipping everybody off real edgy. But since it was, like, an open mic, there was a DJ and they were just blasting Two Princes while it came on because he had no control over that aspect of it. So he came out like, yeah, I'm a shock comic, and fucking Two Princes is blaring. It's like, oh, that's perfect.
Nice.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know.
We should start doing that to Ricky Gervais. Anytime he says anything, just start playing Two Princes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take the edge off there. As for this movie, it's really hard to know right now. The cast is fucking great. I think I saw Christopher Walken in there.
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's going to be a lot of cameos, though, because there were a whole lot of names. I swear to God, I saw Matthew Perry.
Yeah. I think what it... Here's...
part owner of the Field of Dreams house. Go on.
It's a movie that feels like it doesn't need to exist. And I don't know why it's going to exist or how it's going to exist. Because The Big Lebowski is not something that's like you need a spinoff or like a sequel to. That's sort of the point of it. It's very standalone.
It's a cult movie.
Yeah, and if anybody else was making this, I feel like it'd be a real problem.
It feels kind of like if they were to do an Office Space sequel. Like,
yes.
That's a movie that there can be only one. That is a Highlander of a movie.
Right. And it's like...
And like any attempt at making a sequel would just be fucking weird.
Yeah. And I think that's... So I guess that's why I'm like, I'm in this weird place where I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm going to go watch it, I guess. I'm not excited for it. I'm not dreading it. I'm just like, huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I really don't know what to make of this one.
Yeah, it's puzzling. So I guess we'll see.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Well, I was going to, one more thing. Since this is a teaser, that's the bigger problem is that there's nothing, like, we're not hearing the jokes or, like, the plot.
Right,
so it's like, I don't fucking know. Yeah, let's move on to Irresistible. This has a bad title.
Very bad.
I kept forgetting which movie this was.
I can't remember which one it is.
It's the Jon Stewart directed one.
Oh,
with Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Which is a home run in my book. I mean, all you Rosewater fans out there, just like fucking, yeah, Rosewater. Yeah. We're gonna get another Jon Stewart.
Going to RoseCon every year.
Yeah. I fell asleep during Rosewater. That's a toughie. It's a movie that should exist. But is that a slow fucking movie.
I don't think I've ever even seen it.
It's based off of a real guy who got arrested and, like, detained in his country because of an appearance on The Daily Show. So Jon Stewart made a movie about it because it was very personal to him.
And that movie was boring?
This
movie's going to be boring, too.
It was such a different type of movie. He made it in 2014. It was a guy in Iran who, like, he was arrested from, like, being suspicion of being a spy. I think it was the idea that Jon Stewart was like, fuck, man, I got this guy in jail, and he wanted to tell his story. And
is it possible that movies just aren't Jon Stewart's thing?
I don't know, man. He's killing it in The Faculty. But no, I guess the thing about Rosewater that was so interesting is I remember hearing, like, Jon Stewart's directing a movie, and I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And they're like, it's a drama. And it was like, first movie, a drama, huh? And this feels more his speed.
Yeah.
This feels more like something Jon Stewart would do, you know?
Yeah, it feels more in his wheelhouse.
Yeah. It feels...
Yeah, it seems a lot like Wag the Dog / Dave. the movie right. Dave with Kevin Kline.
Yes.
It's like Steve Carell is like the, I guess, the head of the Democratic Party, and they're trying to find an electable candidate, and they find Chris Cooper's grizzled ass.
That is Chris Cooper, isn't
right.
it?
Right.
My yeah. God, he's aging horribly.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's aging like Chris Cooper.
Yeah, that's true.
Man, now I'm thinking about Rosewater. Rosewater had an interesting part where they show them filming the Daily Show segment, and they have like Jason Jones there, and it's like a peek behind the scenes of how they actually do those segments. Huh. Everybody see Rosewater.
Go see Rosewater, everybody.
No, don't actually do that. I don't know. This is... Yeah, Dave, like... I don't know. We don't get enough like zany political comedies, do we?
Not really.
Not lately,
because
for sure.
Politics are horrifying lately.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And it feels weird. I mean, I guess from Jon Stewart it makes sense, but feels almost weird to have a funny political film right yeah. now.
Jon Stewart's got that like... He reminds me of Obama, where like they both kind of retired around the same time, and then we're just like, I'm staying the fuck out of this, and yeah. like sort of moved on. And I'm kind of like, I want to know what you have to say though. I bet it's interesting what you have to say, but you're keeping quiet. And then this movie is just like, okay, this is cool, but
yeah, kind of like when Al Gore lost the election,
mm-hmm.
and people were like, you're still gonna sort of be president, right? Like you're gonna yeah. be out here telling us what to do.
He's like, no,
I'm gonna grow a beard, motherfucker.
Yeah, they all grow beards.
Yeah,
talk show hosts too, because they're not allowed to grow beards. And like Letterman and Jon Stewart immediately grew a beard, and it was like, I'm fucking free. I don't have to do this every day.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. They've earned their break. If Jon Stewart wants to make this movie, I will fucking go watch it and enjoy it. But it's such a weird thing coming out of him.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm sold on him making movies.
Yeah.
This movie looks okay. Like Rose Byrne looks funny in it.
Yeah.
She's funny in everything.
She's been killing it lately.
Yeah. Rose Byrne's great. Killing.
Yeah. I think Rosewater was well directed. It was just boring. So I'm like, yeah, he could probably do a good comedy. I don't know.
Rose Byrne Water.
Nice.
I'd watch that. You know
and
what
then,
I mean?
Like, yeah. Was he not good in The Faculty? Was he not good in The Faculty?
He was electric in The Faculty.
Big Daddy.
He's good.
I just come to life every time he's on screen in Big Daddy.
Charisma that just leaps off the screen.
Playing by Heart, where he's him and Gillian Anderson having a romantic relationship. Who doesn't want to see that?
Sure, I've seen.
Who
that.
Who doesn't want to see Jon Stewart bang Gillian Anderson?
I want to
pay money for that.
Now,
yeah.
Yeah,
I'll put my quarter.
I want to watch that this instant.
Yeah, that's fucking great, you guys. Any other thoughts on this?
Just a terrible title.
Yeah,
it is really bad title.
That's the name of this movie.
That sounds like the name of like a thriller. It probably is the name of a thriller.
Yeah, there was a.
It is.
Yeah,
there was a Robert Pattinson movie not too long ago that looked really good, and I've never seen it because the title is so stupid. And I believe it's called High Life.
Oh, yeah, I saw High Life. It's good.
Is it good?
Yeah, I really liked
it. What a dumb title.
Yeah. It's a very, like, it's a cerebral kind of, like, moody film that's, like, it's a little bit of a slow burn, you know? It's all, like, in space and mysterious. Yeah, I guess it is not a great title, but, like, with the poster and stuff, it, like, I wasn't paying attention to the title, I guess.
Yeah, that was the first thing that struck me was the title.
Yeah. It's a good movie, though. Check it out.
No.
Do it.
I command it.
Check it out, Adam.
Fine.
Let's talk about this next one. The Lovebirds.
This looked interesting.
I forget what... All I remember is it's two people and they want a bone. And they probably
Is that...
It's Kumail Nanjiani and Issa Rae. Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking of
Photograph.
You're thinking of
which
the Photograph,
based on the Nickelback song.
Okay, sorry. The Lovebirds. This looks really fun.
Both films have Issa Rae in it, so it's
okay.
The Lovebirds sort of reminds me of like a comedy version of Queen and Slim.
Yeah,
almost.
It's like they saw that and they're like, let's do that, but funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Camille Nanjiani's killing it.
Is it? And this is Swole Nanjiani, right?
Yeah, I think he's swole at this point. But he's like, he's probably trying to hide it for this because it's like being swole isn't funny.
Just playing a lovable schlub.
Yeah.
With a fucking six pack.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This is like a silly comedy, and I'm fine with that. And it, like, the jokes seem fun. For trailer jokes, they're pretty good, considering that we're watching the trailer stuff.
I know they punched up the script when they got brought on the movie.
Oh, good.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a fun plot. It has to, like, it's sort of a big ask, which is that they didn't do a crime, but they run away from the cop. Yeah. I like.
Well, they're like an accessory, accidentally accessories to a murder. That's it's a pretty fun gag that this guy just comes running up to him. He's like, "I'm a cop," and then he uses their car to run somebody over.
Yeah,
repeatedly.
I don't think he was a cop. I like that because it's playing off a trope where it's like this grizzled guy being like, "I'm a cop. Let me have your car."
Yeah,
and you're like, "Oh yeah, it's of course." Yeah, no, I. This is probably going to be a lot of fun. I don't know.
It'll probably be fine.
Yeah. I don't see a lot of comedies. And then I've been like trying, like I saw Long Shot recently. And that's one where it's like, oh, this is a lot of fucking fun.
Yeah. Long Shot was good. Have you seen Good Boys?
No. I bet that's good, though.
Good Boys is adorable.
Yeah. I just, like, I don't know. I'm never in the mood for a comedy.
Maybe I should start watching some. I haven't seen any comedy. I think the last comedy I saw might have been Booksmart.
Booksmart's really good. But yeah,
Booksmart was good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
get on that comedy horse.
Yeah, we just doing like the show and everything we do for the Patreon, we just normally don't watch comedies.
Yeah, because talking about them is boring.
There's a fun comedy on Amazon right now called Brittany Runs a Marathon.
I want to see that.
It's really cute. It's a good movie. Right. Me and
Jillian Bell, I think.
Yeah. Me and the girlfriend watched it the other night.
All right. Freaking Lovebirds. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the photograph where the people just want a bone.
Yeah. This isn't my kind of shit.
I really like, these two actors.
For sure.
Lakeith Stanfield and Issa Rae. So
yeah, it's just a romantic.
And it has Laurel Howery in it too.
Does anybody remember if there was a plot in it?
Like he's interviewing her about, I think her mother was somebody of, I watched all these kind of quickly, but he's like interviewing her about her mother who was famous in some regard, and then they start to have a relationship. So it seems like it's just kind of like a straightforward romance movie.
I like a good romance movie when you get the right people where it's like, these are two charismatic people just doing romance stuff.
Mm-hmm. The cast is great. It's one I'll have to stream. I probably won't go to theaters. This is the genre I almost never go to theaters for.
Yeah.
Rom-coms. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not even a rom-com. Like, I fuck with a rom-com, but this is just rom.
Right.
Rom-dom.
It needs
drama.
It definitely needs, like, you know, time travel or one of them's an angel.
Right.
Like, we need, give me something I can fucking hold on to.
Or commit a crime in the beginning.
And
then go on the run.
Yeah. Just something, anything. Because, I think it's that when it's just like, it's about two people hooking up. And it's just like, well, that fucking happens every day. I'm sure there's a lot of, I'm sure it's a good movie.
I do like when a movie
as a thing to sell, it's like, it's not enough.
I do like when a movie like that throws you a huge curveball. Like The Breakup, which seemed like it was going to be a lighthearted romantic comedy about breaking up.
Yes. Oh no, I never saw it.
You never saw it?
Is it like Cape Fear all of a sudden?
No, but it's bleak.
It winds up being kind of devastating.
Wow. Yeah. Like Colossal? Colossal's one where it's like,
oh, I loved Colossal.
Yeah, where you're like, oh, this is way darker than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I fucking love Colossal.
Oh, I might watch Colossal again tonight.
It's great.
Yeah, it is.
I've only watched it once, but I remember this kind of off topic. Freddy Got Fingered. That got really dark, didn't it?
Well, it's called Freddy Got Fingered for one thing.
I just remember watching that movie and being like, man, this is not a laugh riot. This is like, I'm feeling really bummed out.
It still has one of my favorite jokes in the world in it. It's when Tom Green comes home to the neighborhood and that little kid comes running up and says, "Gordy, Gordy, you're back." And then he trips mid-sentence and smashes his face open against the side of the car and just starts like howling. And then it cuts like mid shriek and that's the end of the scene. That's all that happens in that scene.
I love what going. All right. Bringing it back to comedies or romance. One of my favorite gags that came out of nowhere was fucking in While You Were Sleeping, I believe, the Sandra Bullock, Bill Pullman. They have like a morning shot establishing the morning. They show a paper boy and he throws the paper and just eats shit and then it cuts away. It's like, huh. Just eats shit on the bike. Kid's getting hurt.
There's a crazy scene in The Truth About Cats and Dogs.
Ooh, great movie, I think.
I do. Yeah, I like it a lot, too. But there's a scene where a guy calls in, and it's like a self-help thing. And he calls in, and he's talking about how he can't stop licking his dog. And whoever this caller is just has the most over-the-top, stereotypical, here's a white dude trying to sound like a black dude accent. And it's just baffling to me. Like, why do you make the guy who calls in and goes, "Yeah, man, I just can't stop licking my dog." It's like, what are you doing? Even in the 90s, what are you doing?
I assume it's like,
whose decision was this?
I assume it's like they just have comedian friends. They're like, "Everybody just come to the set one day and do a bit." It's like Frasier, where they're like, "Yeah, might as well just stick."
I hope that was Kelsey Grammer on the other hand. I can't stop licking my dog, man.
I gotta watch that again.
It's Kelsey Grammer.
Falls
I'd
off
like to
the
try
stage.
Something
else next take. So yeah, the photograph.
Look at this photograph.
That's a delightful cast. I'll probably end up watching it.
Yeah, at some point.
Somehow.
Probably streaming.
Probably streaming.
Yeah. The next one is The Rhythm Section. I would also say not a great title.
Very weird title.
Yeah. This is
Blake Lively being a great actor is one of my favorite developments in recent history. She's dope.
It's about Jude
she's
Law teaching her to kill.
In the last couple of movies she's in.
To what?
I said she's been pretty solid in the last couple of movies she's been in.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she's great.
I'm excited for this. It looks like
Jude Law training Blake Lively how to kill people.
Yeah, this looks like a solid. I'll watch it on streaming. Also, where it's like. It reminds me of like a shooter, or like Assault, or perhaps a Haywire,
or a Peppermint.
Yeah, or like even like a Girl on the Train, which is not really an action film, but it's got like that thriller elements, and it's just like, yeah, I'll fucking make some tea and like you know, curl up under a blanket. I'll watch the shit out of this. Like, yeah, there's certain movies now that streaming and VOD is a thing.
I think I'm gonna watch a thriller after we're done with this.
Yeah, there's certain movies that are just better to watch fucking like in your living room, and it's not about quality, you know. Like if you can support these movies in theaters, do it. But like we sort of realized straight to VOD is like that's not a bad thing,
right?
And there's just this feels like I don't think it is a straight to VOD, but this is one that's just like, man, I can't wait to like sit. And like relax and like watch this before bed.
I might see this in theaters.
All right.
I feel like the scorned woman gets revenge by murdering lots of people. That's a well we've gone to a lot in recent years, and I'm sort of tired of it. But this looks good, and I fucking love Blake Lively as an actor.
Yeah, I think it's that. That genre is just scorned person gets revenged, and like gender seems to sometimes go into it.
Yeah.
So they feel like different genres, but this feels no different than Taken or anything like that, I guess.
Right.
But I think what I like about this is that a lot of those films are like, it starts with someone like, I happen to be a badass. And then, oh, we killed your family. And they're like, well, you fucked with the wrong badass. This one, it feels like she's like, oh, I'm not a badass, but I really want to murder these people. I'm going to go to Jude Law and be like, hey, can you teach me how to murder people? And they're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I like that aspect of
it. I do. I really like that idea of like, I want to be Liam Neeson, but I'm not yet, so I have to train.
It reminded me, at least the trailer, a little bit of Munich.
Sure.
Where it's the revenge isn't just chaos, it's planned and a lot of thought goes into it. And I like that.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's an underrated movie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, let's all watch Munich. That's a good curl up with coffee.
Fucking
tea.
Eric Bana.
Yeah. Just
murdering.
Pre-Bond Daniel Craig.
Murdering Nazis. Not Nazis.
Man, I want to watch Munich.
No, they're not Nazis. Yeah. They're Mossad agents. Anyways.
Quite the opposite.
We go in weird places in this podcast.
Yeah.
Our final trailer is Ordinary Love. This is fucking heavy.
This was heavy. This was hard to watch. It's Liam Neeson is playing, and I don't remember the actress's name. I'm not familiar with her. But it's him and his wife. They're like an older couple, and she's like dying of cancer.
Yep. That's the movie. It's Liam Neeson like dealing with his wife having cancer, which if you know anything about Liam Neeson, you know he lost his wife.
He sure did.
Yeah.
Not to cancer, but like it's like
happened a little faster.
Yeah. This is true. Yeah. But like, yeah, it's like, all right, yeah, bring back the acting, Neeson. Like, give us some of that Schindler again. Like this is I feel like I haven't seen him act in a while.
Neeson,
yeah.
It I'm happy to see him acting again, but I won't be able to watch this movie.
This is tough.
My grandfather died of throat cancer from a hospital bed that was in the living room of the house I lived in. So right. I like watched him die slowly while I was in seventh grade, and I just have no desire to watch Liam Neeson's on-screen wife go through that.
Yeah, there's movies like this. Like,
Have you seen 50-50?
Yes, movie is brutal.
I sobbed watching 50-50.
That was really fucking
in theaters. When
the part that got me is when he has his breakdown alone in the car.
Yeah.
Like I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, 50-50 is rough.
It's these premises, and I'm glad they happened, but you can't blame anybody for not wanting, because it's like, here's a story about a really sad thing that statistically speaking, most of you have some sort of experience with.
Well, have you seen Unbelievable on Netflix?
Yeah, that was.
Yes.
That is a great show that every dude should watch.
Yes.
But women, read up on it and make up your own mind.
Yes.
Like I understand why swaths of women in this country would not want to watch Unbelievable.
That fucking show, I'd literally like get up and pace sometimes.
Yeah.
I had the same with The Handmaid's Tale, where it's like I'd get up and be like, motherfuckers. And like, oh God. It's tough. Like I feel like that show is named after what you mutter to yourself when you watch it. It's like fucking unbelievable. Yeah.
Never before have I hated Dauber from Coach so much.
Yeah, he's
fucking
a real asshole.
Patrick Starr.
Yeah.
I hated Patrick Starr in that show.
Yeah. Great show, though. I mean, it was a miniseries, right? It's not like...
It's a limited series, yeah. Right. But, yeah, back to this one. It's just, like, it looks devastating. Like, you know, Marina has tons of chronic health issues, so this kind of situation is always on my fucking mind.
Right.
So it's like, I don't need to watch this is gonna destroy me.
It's too real. I think there's certain genres that are like, I think about like something like Marriage Story, where it's like, I don't want to watch a couple fight. Like
I hated that movie
where it's
so
like
much.
Oh, I liked it, but it's
I
like
I really liked it, yeah.
But there's a certain amount of stress for the movies like that, where it's like, here's just like a real shitty thing that happens in life, and we're gonna have actors like reenact it, and it's gonna really bum you out.
This movie looks like a bummer.
I'll probably see it.
Yeah. Huge bummer.
But I'll see this one, but I don't know when. Mm-hmm. This is not a drink some tea and have a nice night and curl up and watch.
No, This is a stay up all night staring at the ceiling thinking about mortality.
This is a watch movie in the morning for me. I have movies like this where, like Mother, like certain movies where I'm like, all right, I know I need to watch this. I'm going to watch it like first thing in the morning so I have all day to forget whatever it's going to do. And it'll wake you up. It'll really wake you up when you start that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing wakes me up in the morning. Nothing peps me up like Liam Neeson's dead wife.
Or a baby getting tossed into a crowd and torn to shreds. Yeah.
Oh, that movie. I got to watch that again.
Oh, I haven't seen Mother.
Oh, okay. Oddly enough, that's not really a spoiler.
No.
I've said this before. That movie is one of the best depictions of a nightmare. Like, the way it's framed, it's like, yeah, nothing makes sense, and it's, like, personal space invasion, and, like, it's illogical, and, like, I know that's not really the meaning of it, but it portrays the idea of you have those nightmares where it's, like, I need to pee, but there's no bathrooms, and then I go into a bathroom, and it's filled with people, and, like, it had that feeling of, like, she needs just to fucking get away from these people, but there's people everywhere, and nobody seems to think it's weird. And it's, yeah, just like, it's
we did an,
it's a fucking movie.
We do a bonus podcast on the Unpops Patreon called Talking at the Movies, where it's meant for you to play it while the movie is playing. It's like commentary.
Right.
And we did an episode about Mother. And one of the guests, I think it was Cindy Aravina, does a great job of explaining what's happening in that movie.
Oh, wow.
And after watching it with her, I came away with a little more of an appreciation for that movie.
It's nice when a movie, like a weird surreal movie, actually has meaning.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, okay. Then it's like, it's not just all bullshit.
Right.
Because it feels like it could be. It could easily just be.
Yeah. And even if that movie is complete bullshit, like, Mother is just so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like, as shit gets crazier and crazier. Like, just imagine being in the room when they filmed it. That would stress me out.
Yeah. I love every Darren Aronofsky movie, and I know they're real hard to watch sometimes. But, like, I always come out of it being like, Jesus. Like, I like that feeling, because it's not, I don't come out of it being like, I'm just super bummed. I'm, like, impressed by how devastating it is.
Yeah.
We're like, wow.
That's fair.
You fucker. Jeez. Like, you know when something can be so tragic that you just can't have to laugh because it's like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Like, they come off like that with me. Anyway, Liam Neeson is going to hunt down and kill cancer. News stories?
Yeah, let's move on to news stories.
We only got a couple here.
News stories.
That's fair.
SAG, Screen Actors Guild, is setting these new guidelines for filming sex scenes that I think is pretty important.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah. Well, they have these things called intimacy coordinators.
Oh.
And I guess they're setting guidelines for, like, requiring them and exactly what their role is in films. This happened because of the Me Too stuff, and, like, there were a lot of stories about, like, actresses who filmed sex scenes that then the actors would, like, fucking go into their trailer after, or, like, grab them when they didn't. So the idea is the intimacy coordinators, and this seems like a really good idea, is they basically talk to the directors, the producers, and the actors, and they say, what do you consent to? What are your lines? We don't have to cross these lines. We don't have to, like, go this far, but how far do you, like, should this scene go? Let's all agree on everything beforehand. And then if you violate it, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great,
like,
idea.
Yeah. It's one of those ideas where it's like, it's weird they didn't do that already.
Would it have killed them to call them sex marshals?
You're right.
Cause that.
No, you're right.
Then you're really on board. I'm trying to find a shirt.
Yeah.
A sex marshal shirt.
There's got to be a sex marshal shirt out there, right?
Probably, but it's not a real thing.
It can be now.
Yeah. It should be.
Yeah.
Sex, let's make them marshal. Sex.
And they're like, I want them to be armed on set.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like, watching real closely. Just like no exceptions. If something,
but just like a giant,
the hand slips or something, they just gun them down.
You get
both
smacked
of them
with a giant dildo.
Sure.
A dildo taser.
Giant,
10-inch dildo taser to the back of the neck for you, sir.
That's silly.
Sex marshal.
Yeah, sex marshal. I don't know. This is a good idea. I hope it's not like the people who make sure animals don't die who are just sort of paid to look the other way. I think that it isn't because animals can't, like, go to the press. I mean, they can, but that's when they're like running for mayor of a town, and they're fucking adorable.
I've seen a few movies that would beg to differ.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Oh, good.
Good for you, SAG.
Yeah. Next final story. Jodie Foster is going to direct a drama on the theft of the Mona Lisa. I put this on here just because I just love it when Jodie Foster directs. She doesn't do it. I don't feel like she doesn't direct that often.
I can't think of the last film she directed, actually.
I'm gonna look it up.
Was it The Beaver?
That might be why she hasn't.
I think it was The Beaver. Yeah.
The Beaver is great. Beaver is a legit. That is a movie that you will come away from fucking devastated.
All right.
Have neither of you seen The Beaver?
No, because it was like, no. Oh, she directed a Black Mirror episode.
Oh, that's right.
Which one? I hate how they don't tell you.
I would do a best bad movie ever about The Beaver. The Beaver.
Money Monster is the other one. Did you guys see Money Monster?
Oh, right.
That was a lot of dumb fun. This is why I like her directing, is because she does like, she'll do like dumb thrillers. She hasn't done much, though. She did Home for the Holidays and The Beaver, which, yeah, I guess that's the only way you're going to make me watch The Beaver.
The Beaver is shockingly good.
Well, yeah. That doesn't surprise me. I remember hearing decent stuff about it. It's just wrong time, wrong actor.
Yeah, it came out at a bad time, but man, it's a better movie than you expect.
Yeah.
Very sad movie.
All right.
So you get to see Mel Gibson sad. Don't you want to see sad Mel Gibson?
I mean, he's never not. What are you saying, Tom?
I was going to say, pretty much any time you see Mel Gibson, you're seeing Mel Gibson sad.
That's true. He's not a bad actor.
He's just a bad person.
He's just a bad person, exactly. But like, no one ever accused of him being bad at his job, I guess, or at least bad at doing acting stuff. You know,
right.
He's fine. He's fine with that. He's just got,
just all his other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm sure he's good in it. I don't know. I guess we'll have to do a best bad movie. I don't think I'm going to see it on my own. I don't think I can pay to watch The Beaver on like without.
Yeah, there's
motivated to.
There's no way I'm watching that unless I have to for a podcast.
Oh, now we got to do it.
All right,
Beaver Stan, right here.
All right, I don't doubt it. I'm sure it's a fine movie. I guess we'll find out. God damn it. Beaver. Anyway, I don't know. I want to see Jodie Foster direct a drama on the theft of the Mona Lisa. I bet it's more like a thriller.
I didn't even know the Mona Lisa got stolen.
Me neither.
So I'm in.
It's easy enough to steal.
Yeah, it's just she's just fucking
things
standing
used to be
there.
So easy to steal. Like now it's harder, but like
yeah,
I feel like you could just steal shit all the time when there's like no cameras.
I did some shoplifting as a kid.
Oh yeah, well because even when we were even before that when it's like there was no cameras, there's no like imagine like when it was just like you just had to like hire people to just like watch people really closely, and that's the most you could do to make sure someone doesn't steal. But otherwise, it's like what the fuck are you gonna do about it? You know,
it's the wild wild west, man.
Exactly. So I bet you could, I bet there was a time where the Mona Lisa was like really gettable.
Yeah, just hanging there.
Yeah.
Honor system.
Exactly.
Yeah, all you need is like a burlap sack.
Yeah.
Hey, I just stole the Mona Lisa.
But also at that time, if you're carrying that around, they're going to be like, where'd you get that burlap sack?
Right.
What are you doing with that?
That's true.
Doing some
heisting?
Where'd you
get that sack, Jack?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how this goes. That's it for news stories, you guys. Like I said, there's only a couple.
News stories.
News stories. Dave.
Yes.
Dave.
What is it?
We've come to the part of the show where I have to ask you if by any chance you happen to have a movie that deserves more hype.
Yeah, I guess I do. Jeez. jeez. I guess I do.
Oh, jeez.
This is This is I think is this getting buzz? This movie is called Swallow.
I haven't I haven't heard anything about it, and the trailer really caught me off guard.
Oh, this fucking trailer.
Yeah.
Swallow. Yeah. This is coming out March 6th of this year. Mm-hmm. It's got an 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. Boy. it's not called Swallow because it's like about like a bird. It's about a pregnant lady who starts swallowing objects. Yep. They only find out because it's in the ultrasound. They find like a bunch of shit in there, and she's just like slowly getting obsessed with swallowing like tacks and marbles and random shit.
A needle. She swallows a syringe at the end of the trailer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of the pros I'm seeing is that it's like the Variety, when they did a review, they brought up the movie Wetlands. If you remember that one. Which was like...
I haven't seen it.
Okay, it's like a woman with like a weird like fetish for like public toilets and like gross things. And it was like kind of gross out movie. Like it's hard to watch. They said this is not that. This is not about like, oh, look how gross this is. It actually doesn't show much. It's about the implications. Like it's more about it doesn't have to show you it. You could imagine the problem. So, and it's also being talked about as like a very like a feminist film, which it's like I think it's written directed by a dude. Not that it can't be that, but I guess it's about like she's like a very housewifey wife where it's like she's right. quiet, she's, no one's listening yeah. to her. She's and then she starts eating stuff.
Time to swallow these scissors.
Yeah, and it's like the idea of like no one. She's been like, I don't know. Like, I guess that ties into the plot. The trailer doesn't really show much, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah, the trailer is confusing. Well, not confusing, but you're right. It's not. Aside from the fact that she swallows things, which is kind of implied in the title. You don't learn a whole lot more.
No, you don't. I like what the reviews are saying, which is that this isn't just like a gross out film. And it has something to say.
And interesting.
I appreciate that.
No, the trailer definitely hooked me. Like, I'm like, I am going to watch this movie.
Yes. Did you guys ever see Raw?
No.
Damn, you should see Raw. I liked Raw.
I saw Raw.
Did you like Raw?
I did.
It was a really like grounded cannibalism movie.
Yeah.
it was really fun. This sort of reminded me of that too, where it's like it's a compulsion that they don't quite feel good about, but they're just still doing. Raw is, of course, more outlandish. Like this is an actual condition.
Yeah, I forgot that about Raw.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. This is like an actual condition that obviously is going to probably be exaggerated for the sake of a movie. But does affect people who are pregnant, I believe, right?
It affects anybody.
It affects anybody, but I thought it was like...
Like, I've seen a lot of people on, like, you know, shows like My Strange Addiction and stuff like that, right. Where they just compulsively eat inedible objects.
There's a Reddit sub... There's a subreddit about inanimate objects that look delicious. I think that's a different thing. Like, I want to eat lava every time I see lava. It looks fucking delicious.
I think it's called forbidden food.
Is it?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't that. This is like thumbtacks, which I don't want to eat that.
Yeah, those don't.
It doesn't look delicious.
I mean, I'll try it. What if it's great?
That looks pointy.
What if it's great?
Thumbtacks?
That's a possibility.
What if it's
that's
great?
True.
Yeah, what if it's
Tom,
like a cinnamon thumbtack?
We've encouraged people to eat our products.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. So eat our products.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know.
I think that's a sode.
Yeah, that's a sode. I was just saying, everybody check out the trailer to Swallow. I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah.
It looks really intense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is one way to put it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a sode.
Woo!
Woo! Adam, thank you so much for doing the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You should
lots of fun.
You should plug something.
Check out the Unpops Podcast Network if you don't. We got a lot of BoneCon that we put up. We do something like 3 to 4 bonus episodes a week of all our various shows. And it's lots of fun. And check out me and Jeff's upcoming podcast, You Don't Even Like Sports, which is a sports podcast for people who don't like sports.
That's good for me because I don't like sports.
The first
season. Should I listen to it?
Well, the first season is about Dennis Rodman.
Ooh.
But we did a podcast before this called Jose Canseycast.
Right.
Which was about Jose Canseco, and it is one of my favorite things I've ever recorded in my life.
It's so, your legacy.
Yeah, it's going on my tombstone.
Nice.
Just a picture of Jose Canseco
that would
doing
be
MMA fighting.
That'd be a great thing to put on a tombstone, because people would just look at it and be like, is that Jose Canseco's tombstone?
Is that the ball bouncing off Jose Canseco's head and going over the center field wall? Weird. Just those things.
Okay.
Follow me on Instagram at Adam Todd Brown, Todd with 1D.
Do it.
And Twitter, I fucking guess.
Yeah, do it to Twitter.
Do that shit.
It's the same thing, right?
Yeah, they're both Adam Todd Brown.
All right. Everybody follow him.
Follow me.
Do it. I guess I should tell people about our Patreon, but they must know at this point. We have a Patreon where we mentioned at the top of this, you can do a tier where you're a Hypecast producer. That's patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We also have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac and a bunch of other things. Mm. We watch movies every Friday with our patrons, Friday being today. So if you get in real quick, get in there real quick. We might be watching... Jeez, I don't know. One of the movies we mentioned here, like a thriller.
It's entirely possible. Watch we could be watching Patriot Games tonight.
Watch the making of Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Okay. Oh, I love the making of that. It's
pretty good.
Great. All right.
Yeah, we also have a store at tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed where you can get t-shirts, stickers, mugs, posters, whatever you want. We just got a new design, the Where's Bane designed by Sterling Hodge, which is for
beautiful.
People who have been listening to Tom and Jeff Watch Batman. It is great. You can get your grubby little mitts on that piece of art on anything you want. You can put it on whatever you want, and they'll send it to you, and then it will become yours.
Or you can eat it.
Eat it.
Or you can eat it.
Just eat it.
Like in Red Dragon, you can get a poster of it and stuff it in your mouth to gain its power.
Just eat it. Yeah. Eat it.
Yeah.
All right,
bye.
Bye.
Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at thecorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.